Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Elbert Lee Guillory, and I'm the senator for the 24th District right here in beautiful Louisiana. Recently, I made what many are referring to as a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I wanted to take a moment to explain why I chose to become a Republican, and also to explain why I don't think it was a bold decision at all. It is the right decision, not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican President Dwight Eisenhower who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the bill. You see, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity. Programs such as welfare, food stamps, these programs aren't designed to lift black Americans out of poverty. They were always intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks, or anyone for that matter, need the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more important, this idea is a failure. Our communities are just as poor as they have always been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home, being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers, who control us by making us dependent on them. Sometimes I wonder if the word freedom is tossed around so frequently in our society that it has become a cliche. The idea of freedom is complex and it's all-encompassing. It's the idea that the economy must remain free of government persuasion. It's the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. And it's the idea that the emails and phone records of Americans should remain free from government search and seizure. Is the idea that parents must be the decision makers in regards to their children's education, not some government bureaucrat. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence, and free from government control. Because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny. These are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party, and it is why I am a Republican. So, my brothers and sisters of the American community, please join with me today in abandoning the government plantation and the party of disappointment, so that we may all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with the coolest co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, Annie. Thank you for that beautiful introduction, as always.
Southern Sense with the Radio Chick Annie, as you just heard, Tuesdays and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Live and direct with GZ Rock.
Yo, yo! Ah! Yo, yo, what's going on, my peoples? What's going on, my peeps?
G-Ski loves his peeps. He loves his radio family. And you can join him Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 4.
Stay up late for Conservative Primetime.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Conservative Primetime. I'm your host, GGT.
Speaking of a little less bark and a little more bite, Conservative Primetime is not a show to relax to. It'll get you going weeknight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
And of course, the headmaster himself with the situation report, C. Robert Jones, Ph.D.
In the interest of full disclosure, I have had just a little bit to drink.
And catch the situation report weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a group of patriotic internet radio hosts, and they would very much like you to join them. And brush your teeth. I mean, tell your friends.
Social justice, 1, 2, 3. I wanna be PC. It's just a way to be for me.
Welcome back to The Truth Factory. I think most people who watch my channel can agree that political correctness has gone way too far. Of course, I understand why it's not socially acceptable to intentionally be an asshole to people, but in the last decade, we've become so afraid of hurting other people's feelings that we've altered our own behavior to accommodate them instead of questioning if their hurt feelings are even rational. So at what point are we going to ask ourselves, why are we capitulating to the delusions and ideals of the far left? Why are their feelings so much more important than, I don't know, reality? And who's making up these rules for all of us to follow? Even 76% of Canadians think that political correctness has gone too far. So even the most polite country in the world is sick of this shit. So here are 5 examples of where political correctness has gone way too far. 1. Trying to make absolutely everything gender balanced just for the sake of saying it's gender balanced. Oh, and if somebody questions you on why that matters, instead of giving them a reasonable answer, you can just deflect and state the current year.
To have a cabinet that was gender balanced. Why was that so important to you?
Because it's 2015.
It's 2015.
And it's 2015 right now.
Right. Not an argument. It's not an argument. It's not an argument.
A group in Australia decided one day that the image of women wasn't equally represented on crosswalk signs and thought that that was a problem that they needed to solve. The real problem is that this is a complete waste of time and resources for something that is not an issue. The little person flicks on, that means you can walk. I'm not sure how gender matters here at all. And how do you know that the pedestrian symbol is a man anyway? Are you assuming it's gender? Perhaps the stick man figure is just the simplest way to represent a human, and trying to accurately convey gender on a limited platform might end in disaster. And yes, it did. This was the finished result. If I saw this, I would be confused if it meant only Mary Poppins or colonial women could cross. Now, this obviously isn't the only example of society pushing for equal gender representation. We also have affirmative action for women in tech, women in government, and in movies now. Like, do we really need an all-female Lord of the Flies? Because instead of killing the fat kid, they will just bully her until she kills herself. Because teenage girls are actually sociopaths. I know, because I used to be one. Remaking classic movies with female roles just isn't necessary. And of course, they would never remake Bridget Jones's Diary with a male lead, because no one would watch it, even though we all know it would be played by James Corden. 2. Renaming things. A UK council decided to rename a classic European dessert because the old name, Spotted Dick, was deemed as offensive or perhaps triggering to women in some way. I'm not sure. I mean, I wouldn't be the first person to order up a big old plate of Spotted Dick myself. I sure wouldn't order it by its new name either, the Spotted Richard. It's like they're trying to rebrand it to make it cool with the kids again. And now I'm going to start replacing the word dick with Richard. That guy's a real Richard. Hey, send me a Richard pic. Let's look up that word in the Richardtionary. Of course, this is far from the first time that things have been renamed to be less offensive. A UK council also replaced the term brainstorming with thought showers to not offend epileptics. I think a thought shower should only be done in the privacy of your own home. Number 3, war on holidays. It's weird that the West is pressured to respect everyone else's culture and religion, yet we're almost shamed when we want to celebrate ours. The war on Christmas has always been controversial, as it seems to be becoming a more ambiguous holiday just for the sole purpose of consumerism. A lot of people don't even say Merry Christmas anymore because that somehow might offend someone. In the future, we'll probably all just be sitting around our non-denominational tree exchanging winter wishes gifts. But it's not just Christmas. A school in Seattle renamed Easter eggs spring spheres. What a terrible way to describe an egg. It isn't even a sphere. Spring spheres. Really? Why not just call them spring eggs? Is this fragile, rounded object painted in pastel colors really triggering? Speaking of which, number 4, being triggered by nothing. Apparently this decorative cotton is somehow offensive. A recent post on Hobby Lobby's Facebook said, "This decor is wrong on so many levels. There's nothing decorative about raw cotton, a commodity that was gained at the expense of African American slaves. A little sensitivity goes a long way. Please remove this decor." I'm pretty sure that that specific cotton at Hobby Lobby was not picked by African slaves, nor is the cotton in the clothes that this person probably wears. Next, I bet they're going to try to take the cotton ball out of Tylenol bottle so it doesn't trigger people when they have to pick the cotton out. My ancestors were Irish. That doesn't mean I'm outraged every time I see a bag of potatoes. Number 5, the fear of being labeled. People are so afraid of being labeled sexist, racist, bigoted, Islamophobic, anti-Semitic, that they're afraid to question if political correctness has gone too far. And if the only way that you can end an argument is by calling someone one of those pejoratives, maybe you don't actually have a very good argument yourself. There are almost bi-weekly terrorist attacks happening in Europe now, and it's discouraged to talk about how radical Islam might be an issue, because we don't want to be labeled Islamophobic. Countries like Germany and Sweden are actually covering up migrant rape and refugee violence for the sake of appearing politically correct. Out of all the problems I've listed, some of them are just silly, this one is actually important. Because why are we sticking our heads in the sand and ignoring reality? At some point, this political correctness even contradicts, because you can't say that you support women's equality and gay rights, but then look away when gays are being thrown off of roofs and women are being honor killed because you don't want to be Islamophobic. I'm just sick of being told what words I can't say, what subjects I can and can't talk about, what opinions I'm allowed and not allowed to have. Unless you want to walk on spring sphere shelves for the rest of your life and have no real opinions, you have to accept that things that you say are going to piss people off. You might hurt people's feelings, but again, if what you are saying is rational, then you need to say it. If issues like this arise when there's an inability or unwillingness of people to react, or even be aware of threats like this that arise gradually. If we don't talk about these things in a frank way, one day you will wake up to your winter wishes tree and watch your non-binary gay Teletubby show, which will be the only thing on television that isn't banned, while eating Spotted Richard and waiting for your weekly allotted thought shower. What do you guys think about this? A link to my Twitter and Patreon in the description. Thank you so much for supporting me. Have a great night, guys. Meow.
I ask my friends who are apologizing for not insisting upon this right. Where can the black man look in this country for the assertion of his right if he may not look to the Massachusetts Anti-Slavery Society? Where, under the whole heavens, can he look for sympathy in asserting this right if he may not look to this platform? Have you lifted us up to a certain height to see that we are men, and then are any disposed to leave us there without seeing that we are put in possession of all our rights? We look naturally to this platform for the assertion of all our rights, and for this one especially. I understand the anti-slavery societies of this country to be based on two principles. First, the freedom of the blacks of this country. And second, the elevation of them. Let me not be misunderstood here. I am not asking for sympathy at the hands of abolitionists, sympathy at the hands of any. I think the American people are disposed often to be generous rather than just. I look over this country at the present time, and I see educational societies, sanitary commissions, freedmen's associations and the like, all very good. But in regard to people of color in this land, there has always been more that is benevolent, I perceive, than just manifested toward us. What I ask for the black man is not benevolence, not pity, not sympathy, but simply justice. The American people have always been anxious to know what they shall do with us. Everybody has asked the question and learned to ask it early of the abolitionists. What shall we do with the black man? I have had but one answer from the beginning. Do nothing with us. Your doing with us has already played the mischief with us. Do nothing with us. If the apple will not remain on the tree of their own strength, if they are worm eaten at the core, if they are early ripe and disposed to fall, then let them fall. I'm not for tying or fastening them on the tree in any way except by nature's plan. And if they will not stay there, then let them fall. If the black man cannot stand on his own legs, then let him fall also. All I ask is, give him a chance to stand on his own legs. Let him alone. If you see him on his way to school, let him alone. Don't disturb him. If you see him going to the dinner table at a hotel, then let him go. If you see him going to the ballot box, then let him alone. Don't disturb him. If you see him going into a workshop, just let him alone. Your interference is doing him a positive injury. Let him fall if he cannot stand alone. The black man cannot live by the line of eternal justice. The fault will not be yours. It will be his who made the black man and established that line for his government. Let him live or die by that. If you will only untie his hands and give him a chance, I think he will live. He will work as readily for himself as the white man. Now, a great many delusions have been swept away by this war. One was that the black man would not work. He has proved his ability to work. Another was that the black man would not fight, that he possessed only the most sheepish attributes of humanity, was a perfect lamb or an Uncle Tom. Disposed to take off his coat whenever required, fold his hands and be whipped by anybody who wanted to whip him. But this war has proved that there is a great deal of human nature in that black man. And that, yes, he will fight.
in liberating strife. Who more than self? Our country loves. Something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain, far purple mountain majesties. Now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed his grace on thee. Every brotherhood.